What we believe is found 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. Today's reading of God's Word is from John's Gospel in the 5th chapter, the first 18 verses. For some time, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We look at the Bible. We look at the Bible every week here at Daleville Christian Church. It is God's instruction book. God gives life, and along with the gift of life comes instructions. Humanity messed up the gift that God gave. That's covered in chapter 3 of this book, the Bible. Chapter 3. We didn't get very far, did we? Chapter 1 and 2 are about God creating the world. Chapter 3, we mess it up. We're still messing up, even with the book in hand. That is why the Lord God sent his son Jesus. Jesus explains and interprets a lot of what is in the book, and Jesus provides the power, guidance, and instructions with the Bible through the Holy Spirit. We pray for the Holy Spirit's help when we come to God's Word. So, John chapter 5. But today I have two jobs, information and disinformation. Again, we have to look at what is considered common wisdom, wrongly believed to be Bible wisdom, which is not Bible wisdom. It's not in the Bible. Once that's made clear, then we can proceed to understand what the Bible does say. You may remember that the last non-Bible wisdom was the phrase that cleanliness is next to godliness that is not in the Bible. Now, cleanliness is a virtue and it's healthy, but it doesn't get anyone closer to God. Cleanliness does not get anyone closer to God. So here's our next not in the Bible wisdom. Are you ready? God helps those who help themselves. That statement is not in the Bible. And the more I learned about it, the more shocked I became. Let me read to you what the online source Wikipedia says about it. About this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. The phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is a popular motto that emphasizes the importance of self-initiative and humanistic philosophy. Do you get it? It's humanistic, not biblical. The phrase originated in ancient Greece and may originally have been proverbial. That is, people have known and repeated this phrase from time immemorial in the Greek world, not Palestine, not the land of the Bible. It is illustrated by two of Aesop's fables, and a similar sentiment is found in ancient Greek drama. The phrase is often mistaken as scriptural, but it appears nowhere in the Bible. A variant of the phrase, however, can be found in the Quran. In the Quran, the holy book of Islam, but not in the Bible. So if you're like me and if you ever hear anyone repeat this phrase, you can at least say that's not in the Bible. But if you're like me and want to throw people a curve and make some trouble, whenever anybody says God helps those who help themselves, just ask, why are you quoting the Quran, the holy book of Islam? See what they say. Now, today's Bible verse is a good example of how and why this phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is not in the Bible. And if you can remember this much of what I've said so far in today's sermon, I will have done a great service, and I will have accomplished one of the two things I need to do in the sermon today. So let's finally get to God's Word. Let's look at the setting for today's Bible report. John's Gospel book tells us of two healings that Jesus performed at pools. I'm in hopes that on the website we can have the same photos of the pools in ancient Jerusalem as we used here in the sanctuary this morning. Pools of water in the city of Jerusalem. Two healings are mentioned, two pools are named. The Pool of Siloam and today's site of a healing mentioned, the pool called Bethesda. Another variation is the name Bethzatha. You might even have heard Bethsaida. Bethsaida is a town. Bethesda is a pool. Two different places, two different things. Bethesda is the Hebrew term. Bethzatha is the Aramaic term, Jesus' own language, a variant or dialect of Hebrew. So the pictures show excavated pools, one of them, the one mentioned in the Bible. The other photos just give an idea of the construction of these kinds of pools. But the one mentioned in today's Bible verse was quite large. Actually, two large pools. I need to tell you about the pools of water that were in and around the city of Jerusalem. These pools were not for decoration. They were for religious purposes. These pools were for ritual cleansing. One indicator to archaeologists as to whether a population was Jewish or not is whether or not they can find traces of these ritual pools. And believe it or not, there are archaeologists who specialize in finding these pools. Some are even found in private homes, although you had to be fairly rich to have one dug out of the rock. These pools were the purpose of ritual purity that I've been talking about for 3 weeks. Archaeologists have found one home near the temple area where a house of a very well individual, and they know he had to be very well-to-do because the house had three such pools in one house. The house is located near where the temple area was, and some have suggested that the house was a house for a high priest. Now, while we are on ritual purity, some have suggested that at Passover, when Jews came from all over to bring an offering to the temple, that pure animals were available for sale from the temple itself to be offered as sacrifice in the temple. To purchase such an animal, a pure coin would have to be used for the purchase. One of the functions of the money changers in the temple may have been not only exchanging the many foreign currencies that came to the temple, but to exchange impure coins for pure coins. This too may have been what Jesus objected to when Jesus suddenly and violently overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple courts. One scholar has suggested that ritual purity was more a concern by the time Jesus came along than it had been much before Jesus' time. We know that a group of Jews out of the Dead Sea, who gave us the Dead Sea Scrolls, they were very much into ritual purity. They didn't think the priests in Jerusalem were doing it very well, but they clearly thought that they themselves were doing it right. They believed they were getting ritual purity right. But this particular pool mentioned in today's gospel lesson at the Sheep Gate had an additional tradition. Although the pool was for the purpose of ritual purity, there was a tradition of healing attached to the pool. The tradition was that whenever there was a disturbance in the water, that was the moment of the available healing power. But the healing was available only to the first person who got into the water after it was disturbed. It may not be clear to us what nature this disturbance in the water took, but the people who were there and had seen it understood it immediately when it happened. This man, an invalid, had been there and seen it and understood it, and he was ritually unclean because of his disability. And he had attempted to be healed by the pool's waters, and maybe for many years. He had been an invalid for many years. He is a Jew, but Jesus healed the man that day. Having said this, you might notice that there is no discussion in this Bible report in John about the man's faith. There's no mention of faith. As a matter of fact, the man who was healed did not even know who it was who healed him. The man did not know it was Jesus until later. But faith isn't the reason that John was sure to include this report in his gospel. A simple answer to our concern is this. This report is more about Jesus than it is about the man who was healed. This report is more about Jesus than it is about the man who was healed. As John tells us, this is not only about Jesus healing. This is about Jesus healing on the Sabbath. Jesus has the power to heal, and Jesus has the authority to heal on the Sabbath. In fact, Jesus is the authority to heal on the Sabbath. I'm sure you can imagine this man's difficulty in having the waters heal him of his infirmity. He is disabled. What are his chances of getting to the water first when the waters are troubled? The late great preacher Fred Craddock said this about the situation the invalid was in. All manner of sick people were around the pool. So who do you imagine got to the pool first when the water was disturbed? The guy with the hangnail, right? The guy with the thigh bruise, the man with the sinus infection. But we know who didn't get to the pool first. A disabled man. A disabled man was not going to get to the waters first. We don't know if the man had been at the pool 38 years, but he was disabled for 38 years. The one who needs a miracle most, 38 years needing healing, he can't get to the miracle. Dr. Fred Craddock says that this is exactly where a lot of people's religion is, that God helps those who help themselves. If you can get to the pool at the right time, if you're strong enough or smart enough or fast enough, God will bless you, you'll get the miracle. The race is to the fastest. Well, friend, that's true for NASCAR, but it's not true with Jesus. For Jesus, if you can't get to the miracle, if you can't go to the temple, then God comes to you in Jesus Christ. This man can't get healed at the Jewish pool. This man can't even be a good Jew, so he can go to temple to get blessed. He can't help himself, so God can't help him. Jesus, by his actions, was saying, "My Father in heaven helps the helpless." Jesus says in this same chapter, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. The Heavenly Father's gifts are not confined. The Heavenly Father's gifts are not confined. The Heavenly Father doesn't wait for the water to be disturbed. The Heavenly Father doesn't wait until the Sabbath is over to bless someone and heal them. I so often think that in Christianity, we blame the victim. Why am I not healed? Well, it's because you don't pray enough. You're still sick because you don't have enough faith. You're still miserable because of you. It's your fault. That's where a lot of people's faith is. This report says no. God is at work whether we are or not. Right? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? While we were still sinners, while we were still sinning, Jesus died for us. Jesus didn't wait until we prayed enough or had enough faith. Jesus acted on our behalf even while we were being jerks about it. Well, those aren't Paul's words exactly, but that's my rather loose translation. Romans 5:8. God's love in Jesus is that great, and Jesus said God is still at work through Jesus for our benefit. Hear what more Jesus says about what he is doing, that what he does testifies to the Heavenly Father. Jesus is from the Father. Jesus points to the Father. In John 5, verse 36, for the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. John 9:3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. What Jesus does, what Jesus did, points to the Heavenly Father. For Jesus and for John's book, what John reports to us is proof that Jesus is from God. And Jesus healed the man born blind at another pool in Jerusalem. Because it's the work of God. John chapter 10, if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father, says Jesus. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. So to reaffirm what we know, is cleanliness next to godliness? No, Jesus is next to God. Does God help those who help themselves? Well, God might, but God wants to prove who he is. God proved that he was in Jesus Christ in helping the helpless. The sick were often outcast. The disabled were often outcast. But the sick and disabled were not outcast to God, no matter what some Pharisees taught. God can heal, and God will heal, and God will heal on the Sabbath if God wants to. God will restore us. God will restore us no matter how torn down we might be. You see, with Jesus, life isn't the same old anything. All things are new. Jesus came to restore us. I've spoken to Victor Marx before. Victor Marx is a man who works with troubled youth. He speaks their language because Victor Marx is a survivor of an abusive childhood. Many people in our jails, prisons, and court systems experienced abuse as children. That is a statistical fact. And I remind you that there is all kinds of abuse, several kinds of abuse. Leave no marks on the abused person. Let me close with some of Victor Marx's testimony. Victor Marx was abandoned by his birth father and abused and neglected by his mother and stepfathers. The high school he didn't graduate from was his 14th high school. However, Victor Marx was so much trouble to his high school that although he didn't have enough credits to graduate, the principal gave Victor a graduation certificate on the condition that Victor never come back to that school. Fortunately for Victor, Jesus was always in Victor's peripheral vision. There were some church services that Victor attended. There was a speaker or two that reached his heart. A married couple, and finally a friend in the Marines who was true to the Lord. When the Lord spoke, Victor knew it was the Lord. Victor Marx responded to the Lord and has followed him ever since. What I appreciate most about Victor Marx is that even though the Lord touched his life dramatically, Victor Marx had to work through all the abuse he received, and Victor Marx had to do it the old-fashioned way, therapy. Months of therapy. For a while, he went to therapy more than once a day. It wasn't that Victor didn't have enough faith. All the therapy was required for the amount of abuse he received. He might have learned to cope with living, but he had to learn to love and live as Christ wanted him to. Victor Marx was restored to be the man Christ wanted him to be. Restoration might take time. Restoration might take some obedience. Jesus told this man in John 5 to stand up. You want to be healed? Jesus might ask you to stand up and then pick up your bed and walk out. Restoration might take months or years of therapy. Restoration might take medication. But Jesus the Messiah came to restore. Our God is in the business of restoring people, giving them new lives. And it isn't because you're faster or smarter or richer or because you're more clever. It is the Lord's work. God in Christ helps the helpless. The Lord came to us so we don't have to travel far to get to Him. He has come in Jesus Christ to restore us. Amen.